Up and Vanished in the Midnight Sun is released every Thursday and brought to you absolutely free. But for ad-free listening and exclusive bonuses, subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus at tenderfootplus.com or on Apple Podcasts. Up and Vanished in the Midnight Sun is intended for mature audiences and may include topics that can be upsetting, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, rape, and murder. The names of survivors have been changed for anonymity purposes. Testimony shared by guests of the show is their own and does not reflect the views of Tenderfoot TV or Odyssey. Thank you so much for listening.
During the day, on Saturday, June 25th, I went bridge jumping. But Jake was not there. Later that Saturday night, I went to a party at a camp outside Nome. The party was late. It probably started around 10 or 11 p.m. and went until 4 or 5 in the morning. Jake was at this party. I know that for certain, because I talked to him face to face for over 30 minutes. Just me and him. I was having a drink, standing by a keg at the party. And that's when Jake first approached me. We talked for a while. Then eventually, we walked off on our own. It's a little fuzzy because I had been drinking. But I remember we had a very long conversation. Off to the side. Off to the side.
And then he kissed me. Had no idea Christine even existed. Did not know that was his cousin. Did not know that Joseph was at the family dinners. Any of the Piscoya involvement. I knew none of that. Said that it'd be really hard for me to believe that Jake would just outright do something on his own. But what I do think Jake would do is lie or cover up to save himself. Especially if it was a family-related thing, Jake would 1,000% lie or cover up or save himself. If Jake had any involvement, we feel like it would be to lie and cover up something that happened in the family.
A year from today, what would your dream private practice look like? Would you spend less time chasing claims or only working with clients who value your skill set? What if you had a network to reach out to for questions or free continuing education? What if you had more time for yourself? Alma empowers you to confidently accept insurance, backed by an all-in-one EHR that simplifies scheduling, documentation, and day-to-day practice operations. With a network of engaged providers and free CE resources, Alma makes it easy for you to build the practice of your dreams on your terms. Alma believes that when therapists get the support they need, mental health care gets better for everyone. Learn more about Alma at helloalma.com/get-started. Your dream practice is closer than you think. Get started now at helloalma.com/get-started.
Hi, I'm Karina Bemisdurfer, host of Morning Cup of Murder, your daily true crime podcast. Yes, you heard me right, daily true crime. Every day, Morning Cup of Murder tells you a straightforward, short-form story about murder, true crime, cold cases, disappearances, serial killers, cults, and more. And I do that all in under 15 minutes. With over 3 years of stories and over 20 million downloads, the Morning Cup of Murder podcast has become a staple of so many people's daily routines. So why not add it to yours? Stream Morning Cup of Murder everywhere you listen to podcasts, and remember, stay safe.
All right, this will be an interview between Andy Klamser and Jake. Is it Stetton Benz?
Yes, sir.
And today's date is the 30th of September, 2016. The time now is 12:56 p.m. And we are at the Aurora Inn in Nome. So can you tell me how well you knew Joseph? I mean, I've talked to some people, and basically what people told me so far is that you guys really didn't know each other, big age difference, and you weren't there that long. But
I knew him as my cousin Chrissy's friend. That's what they kept it as, friend. Never told me anything about it. I knew about him last summer, but I knew his name last summer, and that stays true to the summer. I just know his name.
Okay. And that was just from Chrissy?
Yes.
And so after you moved in there, did you guys get to know each other at all?
Not at all. I mean, we said hi here and there if we were passing by each other in the hallway or in the kitchen or something, but that was about it.
Okay. So based on the, you know, the little bit that you knew about him, what were your general impressions of him? What was he like?
One of my first impressions was that he was kind of an outgoing, you know, soft-spoken person. He always wanted to say hi to you or saying what you're doing, you know.
Anything else?
That's about it with me. I mean, if I saw him in the hallway, he'd be like, oh, hey, what are you doing today? And, you know, I would tell him, I'm just hanging out with my friends, probably going to the gym. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going for a hike today. Short and brief conversations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So did Joseph say anything to you about his plans to move to Juneau and get married in August?
Wow, no, he didn't.
You didn't know that?
No. I know he was moving in August, but he didn't say where or to do what. He just said he was moving. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's my plan, too. I'm probably going to be leaving, too, but things didn't fall through.
Yeah, he's getting married to this gal down there, and he's going to open a law practice, so big changes for him, you know. But it didn't sound like you guys had the kind of relationship where you'd share information like that.
I frankly didn't know he was getting married to someone else other than, I thought, you know, he was still seeing my cousin Chrissy.
Okay. So what was, I mean, I've interviewed Christine. What was his relationship with Chrissy?
I don't really know. Whenever I went to my grandparents' house, you know how your family usually make fun of someone you're seeing when you're growing up. You're like, oh, yeah, it's your boyfriend, you know. Mm-hmm. It was kind of stuff like that. So I really, there was no solid info to me that they were dating or whatever you want to say. So I really couldn't tell you. I just figured because that's what the family talked about.
What did the family talk about?
It was just like, they were just joking around, like I was saying, like, oh yeah, that's your boyfriend, why isn't he here, you know.
Did you get that sense that people in your family wanted them to be a couple?
I think they wanted Chrissy to date him. It wasn't more of the family, it was just for her. Mm-hmm.
Did Chrissy ever talk to you about him at all?
Not at all.
I mean, did you ever get the sense that, you know, if he wanted to keep it as a friendship, she was willing to do that as, you know, as good as it's going to get, basically?
Oh, yeah, I have no doubt Chrissy would be totally fine with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have any idea what was going on in Joseph's life in the 2 weeks leading up to his disappearance?
Not in his work life, but there was a weekend. I'm not sure if it was 2 weeks prior, or maybe it might have been 3 weeks, but he said he was bringing a couple friends up from the Lower 48, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the house. I want to say there was two of them, but they stayed in a different room. I hardly ever saw them because I was working from 8 to 5, so I left. They were gone or sleeping still. I got home. They were out in the great outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I didn't know about his personal life.
What was he like as a roommate?
Can't say much about it, but every day, you know, he woke up. I think he woke up before I did. He showered, and then I usually wait for him to get out of the shower so I could shower. And then by the time I got out, he'd be leaving for work. He usually walked to work if it was nice. Sometimes I'd get off a little early, beat him home. And I'd usually stay in my room most of the time because that house we live in, that I live in, it's empty.
Like no furniture or anything?
There's one couch, there's a table, but that's about it. And I have a TV in my room, so I stay in my room a large majority of the time. So like we never hung out.
Do you remember seeing him on the Friday night of that weekend he disappeared?
No, because I was out on the Teller Road going bridge jumping with, Kugrock Road. Out bridge jumping with my friends.
And who were you with?
So this night gets a little vague for me because it's been so long.
Mm-hmm.
The people that I were with and how I got there, I'm pretty sure it was my friend Tyler and my friend Emery. And this is out by Salmon Lake on the Cougar Road, not on the Teller Road.
Okay. And this is Friday night, not Saturday night, right?
Yeah, Friday night.
So still talking about Friday night. So do you remember when you got home after being out bridge jumping?
I'm gonna be honest with you, I really don't remember what time.
Okay. So what's involved in bridge jumping?
Basically what it sounds like, you just get up on the rail and jump off of it.
Into the water?
Yeah.
Isn't the water cold?
Oh yeah. That's the exhilarating part and the falling part, of course, but it's fun. I grew up doing it.
And it was just the two people with you, the two guys?
Yeah.
Do you recall if Joseph's truck was there when you got home, whenever that was?
I don't think it was home. Because usually whenever it is home, I usually make a mental note of in my head saying, oh, Joseph's home.
Right.
I don't recall making that note.
So he was out partying that night with Christine and Kim. You know, we're not certain what time he got home. Was it daylight when you got home that night or morning?
It was actually a really nice day, so I mean, here, when it's super nice, the sun doesn't set for a while, so I would have to guess, I don't know, 10:30, 11, maybe.
So it wasn't like early morning,
I know.
Did you have friends over to the house on Friday or Saturday night?
I didn't have friends Friday, and most definitely didn't have friends the next night. I'm not too sure what we did. But it wasn't... I don't know if I was home or not, but... I don't know, I just don't remember.
Okay. Do you remember Joseph saying anything about what he intended to do that weekend?
He didn't run it by me.
Were you aware of him going to the beach with Chrissy on Saturday?
Saturday?
Yep. He probably would have left like around noon.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so he went missing Sunday afternoon, right?
Sounds like it, because it sounds like you were the last person to see him.
Okay, so I was confusing myself. I went bridge jumping Saturday evening.
Okay. Do you remember what you were doing on Friday evening?
No, I do not.
Is it possible that you had friends over Friday evening?
I honestly don't recall.
Do you recall about what time you left to go bridge jumping on Saturday?
I want to say I could have left anywhere between 5 or 6. And we were supposed to meet up with a larger group of people, but they were at a different bridge. So we went looking, and then I think we finally found them at a bridge called Grand Central. So that's why it was late in the evening when I got back.
Okay.
And plus, we were just enjoying the country, enjoying the views. It was a nice day from what I remember.
Mm-hmm. Where is Grand Central?
It's on the Kugruk Road, right before Salmon Lake. Salmon Lake, I want to say it's at 34 Mile on the road.
Okay. In that other group?
Oh, man, there was a lot of people. See, the thing is, all summer I've been doing kind of the same thing, going bridge jumping, going out in the country. It's just kind of hard to remember
specific times
and people. Usually, man, if it's nice out, weather's warm, it'll be a thought in all of our heads, hey, let's go bridge jumping. And then we'll call all of our friends to go. It's been so long, man, I couldn't remember exactly who was all there.
Do you remember anyone that was in that other group?
Specifically, no, I don't.
How many people, roughly?
I would say at least 15.
And who did you catch a ride with out there?
It was the same two people that I was with, my friend Tyler and my friend Emery.
Okay. So it's pretty important for us to try and figure out who Joseph may have been close with around the time that he disappeared. Did he ever have any women over to the house at any time while you were living there?
Not that I know of.
Did he ever say anything about any relationships he had other, you know, than his friendship with Chrissy?
Like I said, man, we never talked.
Okay. Do you know if Joseph owned any firearms?
I've never seen any. I assume he had one because he was always hiking. You know, that's something you might really need if you're hiking.
Right.
I don't know, the state troopers went over there one day after searching the house, and after thoroughly checking everything, they went back again and they found a box of .44 ammo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one was missing out of the whole box.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen a .44 or anything close to it in that house before.
So it wasn't your ammo? Hang on just a second. What are your sort of gut instincts about what probably happened to him?
I think something bad happened to him. My mom said when they were searching for him, there was 30 plus bears in that area. I think a bear might have gotten to him.
Mm-hmm. Does that happen out here?
I want to say it does, but a large majority of the time they're going to find the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about this whole thing all summer. It started to just stress me out. And I, like, in my mind, I just been thinking, I probably think someone might have killed them. Because, you know, they haven't found a body yet.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs couldn't find him. There was helicopters, there was airplanes, there's numerous people looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And still to this day, there's no body.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people have said that. A lot of local people have said that. Yeah. If he got attacked by a bear, we would have found something.
Yeah, you know, something.
But he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would have enemies or be engaged in risky behavior or anything.
It doesn't appear that way at all. I didn't get that vibe when I met him. My mom told me that he was a law clerk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure what he does, but I was told from my mom that he looks over the evidence of some cases. I don't know, that could have been a trigger. I don't know. Just like the rest of this town, I just want to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a stressful summer. I was living in Anchorage and come back to home. I didn't expect this.
Right, right, exactly. This is something you'd expect in Anchorage. Did you feel that the search was thorough and covered all the areas it should have?
Thoroughly, yeah. Very thoroughly. My mom and her husband, they still go out. Coast Guard was even up here, and it kind of takes a big exclamation mark for the Coast Guard to be up here searching in their helicopter.
Right.
I don't know, I think the town just saw it as one big disappearance, and they couldn't supply answers because they don't have any info on them.
Did you participate in the search at all?
No. I went once with my friend Tyler. Just because, A, it was a nice day. Didn't really have anything to do that day, so we just took a drive down the road.
Were you working when all this was going on, all the searching and everything?
Yeah, I was working for the village of council all summer, and so once a month, for about a week, we would drive down to council, go up the river there, come back at the end of the day, drive back into town, so I'd be up and down all along that road, and, you know, I'd keep an eye out, but, you know, as the month passed, just the chances of him turning up or getting slimmer, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. So was there any friction between you and Joseph over the internet account at the house?
No, I was just... what am I trying to say? I was actually going over the deal on that we were going to make, and, you know, I pay half, he pay half. Then we go half on the utilities every month. And, I mean, I never got around to it because I dug myself a financial hole, so I was covering my ends, and then I was going to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, there was no friction.
Any friction about anything else? I mean, sometimes roommates just don't. You know, they just clash on
yeah,
things.
I get that, but there was no communication between us other than those brief conversations.
Okay. Did Joseph seem to drink very much?
I would say he only drank beer every weekend.
I mean, to excess?
I don't know. I only saw the beer that he bought. He'd be on the counter. Never seen him drunk, had a beer in his hand.
Okay. Do you remember seeing or hearing him return to the house in the early morning hours of Friday night, Saturday morning, like maybe 3 a.m. or so?
No, I don't.
You would have been home at that time, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you have any suggestions for people I should talk to about his disappearance?
No, I don't feel it. As if anyone in this town would know where he was. Or could get a better answer than what I gave you.
Mm-hmm. You don't remember seeing him leave the house there on Saturday when he went to meet Chrissy at the beach?
That is correct, I don't.
Okay. Did your Uncle Kevin ever stay there?
I was gone all winter. I haven't been in Nome since August of 2015. He might have during the winter.
But not while Joseph was there.
I don't think so, no.
Do you remember seeing the pickup that he was using at the house on Sunday? Do you remember hearing a vehicle leave on Sunday?
No, I don't.
What did you do on that Sunday?
I really don't remember.
Were you just waking up when you saw him in the hallway?
Yeah, like, him opening the door was the first thing I woke up to.
Okay.
And I rolled over just to look, you know, just out of curiosity to see what it was. And, you know, there was a light coming up from the entrance way downstairs, and so there was a light shining off the white wall, so I couldn't really see who it was, but I saw a shadow, and I saw his red backpack, which he always had, I'm assuming.
So what did you do Saturday night when you got back to Nome from bridge jumping?
I want to say more than likely, I probably just went to bed.
Do you have any independent memory of that night when you got back from bridge jumping?
No.
Do you remember if Joseph's truck was at the house when you got home Saturday night?
No, I don't.
Was there anybody with you when you got home?
Nope.
Did you just get dropped off?
Yeah.
And who dropped you off?
The same person who brought me up for jumping, Tyler.
I mean, it doesn't sound like any of you or your friends saw Joseph or the truck on Saturday or Sunday other than when you saw him in the hallway.
No, my friends didn't really know him. They knew nothing about him. They met him the same time I did, you know, this summer, and they said hi to him, you know. And I didn't expect them to know him. I didn't expect Joseph to know them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this guy at all.
Mm-hmm. So had you driven out past the area of Mile 44 and the Council Road on Saturday or Sunday?
No.
Did you have a vehicle available to you to use?
When?
Well, this time period, so the end of June, early July.
No, I've never had it. Vehicle of my own this summer.
Had Joseph ever talked with you about running out there on the Council Road in the area of Mile 44?
No, he didn't.
Had Joseph ever said anything to you about wanting to go fishing out in that area?
I don't think he ever did. Or not that I know of.
And is that even good fishing out there?
Yeah, there's some good fishing. You just gotta find the right fish, know when to go.
Because mm-hmm.
there's different times where different spawns are hatching. Some are dying, some are actually young, they'll give you a fight. That's where the fun comes in.
Are there other kinds of fish in there other than salmon?
There's silver salmon, there's chum salmon. There's four different kinds. I can't list them. I don't know.
Yeah, I was wondering if there were, like, you know, other kinds of fish other than salmon in there, trout or other stuff.
There might be trout.
So I want to ask you about this whole confusing situation with the 308 rifle that somebody dropped off at the house.
So that 308 rifle, my dad won it. I'm pretty sure he won it at one of the NRA banquets here.
Mm-hmm.
They give out raffles. Well, you gotta buy raffles. So mm-hmm. at that banquet, they'll draw tickets, and you can go up and select a gun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure my dad selected the black 308 rifle. So last winter, before I left for Anchorage to go to school, I was living at my grandmother's garage. There's a bed in there, you know, a TV. I had my own little setup. So I brought the gun with me because I moved out of my dad's, just to have it. I may have shot it once that winter, and then I left, kind of forgot about it. And then I moved back here after a while. think my gram reminded me that my rifle was there. Without telling me, my uncle brought it back to the house. And that was just before the state troopers searched the house again. They were like, oh yeah, whose rifle is this? Right. Me not knowing that my uncle dropped it off, I said, it's not mine, I've never seen it before.
Okay.
And then, I think...
And so when the troopers asked you that, did they show you the rifle, or did they tell you there was a rifle downstairs?
They told me. They had already taken it.
Okay. So it's not like they showed it to you.
No, but they said it was a black 308, and a little light off went inside my head. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm pretty sure I have a 308. Mm-hmm. And then I think 4th of July is when my mom told me that was my rifle.
Okay. Like,
thanks for telling me.
Mm-hmm. And who told you that, your mom?
Yeah. It made me look extremely bad to the state troopers.
Mm-hmm.
Because me saying it wasn't mine, it turned out to be mine.
Right.
It's been a stressful summer. There might have been some confusion if you've talked to the state troopers before.
Mm-hmm.
They first asked me what I did that Saturday night, and I couldn't remember to save my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, on the spot, I've never talked to the state troopers like this about a missing person. So I made a dumb move and made up a story.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't help me at all. And then that rifle situation happened. Didn't help my case. And then all eyes started turning on me, but I don't know the guy at all, man. I wish I could help you guys. I'm with you in the same boat. I just want to find him. I just want to know what happened. But I wish I could tell you guys.
Well, what did you tell the troopers that wasn't true?
That I went down the Teller Road to a different bridge, but instead we were on a Kubrick Road.
Mm. I mean, why not just tell them the truth? Because, I mean, nobody really cares.
That's the thing, though. They did care, and I couldn't remember. To this day, I could barely remember. I mean, yeah, we're at the Grand Central Bridge, but that night they were asking, I could not remember at all. I was nervous because I was talking to them. I didn't have an answer for them. I should have said that, but I drew a blank and that came out.
Your uncle's a longtime trooper, right? Lonnie Pasquilla?
Yeah. But it was my Uncle Kevin that dropped the rifle off.
Right. So you told them this thing that wasn't true, and then what happened?
They went straight to my friends, and they asked, and they got a different story, so that's where it didn't make me look good. That's where I was lying to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back to me after all the questions and be like, well, we got the story from so-and-so. It doesn't match up with your story. What were you really doing?
And what did you say at that point?
Pretty sure it was the same thing, I just couldn't remember.
But at that, you know, when they were talking to you, that would have been like 2 weeks after, so it was pretty close in time. Why were you having trouble remembering?
Honestly, don't know, man. 2 weeks ago today, I can barely remember what I did.
Okay. There was also an issue with apparently texting your friends to try and get them to create an alibi or, you know, to say that you were with them. What happened with that?
I was just nervous, man. I didn't know how to deal with it. I was just trying to save my skin, but...
Save your skin from what, though?
From that lie.
But it's not like you were doing anything wrong. It's not like you were out robbing a bank or anything. You guys were just out doing stuff, so.
I didn't know how to handle it, man. This is the first time that I've dealt with something like this. Kind of a young kid. I don't know, I didn't know how to deal with it.
And so did you end up telling the troopers that you had texted your friends to try and create this alibi?
No, I think they came to that conclusion after they talked to my friends.
And then did they come back and talk to you again about that?
I believe so.
The friends that you texted, was that Emery and Tyler or Cass and Cam? Or
it was Emery and Tyler.
Then how were Cass and Cam involved?
I'm not too sure. That's the first that I've heard of their names being drawn in.
Okay. Were they out that bridge jumping that night? Do you remember?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Do you know of anyone who saw Joseph out on the Council Road on Saturday or Sunday?
No, I don't.
Do you know of anyone in Nome who was angry or upset with Joseph for some reason?
No.
So the one of the other issues I wanted to ask you about, some of the family members, when they were here searching, had reported to the troopers that they saw injuries on your face. Can you tell me what those injuries were from?
So I was playing catch with one of my friends out at the Safety Roadhouse. We were playing football and made the brash decision of diving for it on gravel. That's where these two come into play for the caught up in this. And then I scraped my face.
Maybe I'll take a quick picture of those. That was out at the Safety Roadhouse?
Yeah.
Turn your hands a little bit. There we go. And I just need to get kind of an overall picture over here if you can look up this way. Okay.
Is there any way I can pause this really quick and use the restroom?
Yeah, no problem. Just go ahead.
My third cup of coffee.
Up and Vanished in the Midnight Sun is a production of Tenderfoot TV in association with Odyssey. Your host is Payne Lindsay. The show is written by Payne Lindsay with additional assistance from Mike Rooney. Executive producers are Donald Albright and Payne Lindsay. Lead producer is Mike Rooney, along with producers Dylan Harrington and Cooper Skinner. Editing by Mike Rooney and Cooper Skinner, with additional editing by Dylan Harrington. Supervising producer is Tracy Kaplan. Additional production by Victoria McKenzie, Alice Kanique Glenn, and Eric Quintana. Artwork by Rob Sheridan. Original music by Makeup and Vanity Set. Mix and mastered by Cooper Skinner. Thank you to Oren Rosenbaum and the team at UTA, Beck Media and Marketing, and the Nord Group. Special thanks to all of the families and community members that spoke to the team. Additional information and resources can be found in our show notes. For more podcasts like Up and Vanished, search Tenderfoot TV on your favorite podcast app or visit us at tenderfoot.tv. Thanks for listening.